If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Not everything has a happy ending.
Yeah, believe me, I know.
I'm not talking about failed romance. I have this terrible gnawing feeling that it might not work out for us this time.
You think we shouldn't be doing this?
I think we're mad fools, the lot of us, but... But if we don't stop him, who will? We have to try, right?
Yeah. It's killing back now.
Slash Henry.
Slash what?
Stranger, danger, talking stranger things. Together, forever, we're loving stranger things. It's Stranger Things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Good morning, stranger friends. Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Stranger Things Forever, where today we are talking the next 10 minutes of Papa, and if all goes to plan tonight, we will be finishing the last 10 plus a few more minutes of Papa, and then it's on to the final chapter. As we are approaching the final countdown, less than 2 weeks away from glory, less than 2 weeks away from fear, from happiness, from sadness, fright, sorrow, excitement, exhilaration, all of that. And I'm just talking about Thanksgiving with our families. Plus, we have Stranger Things. Oh, my goodness gracious. We are now 12 days away. The other day I was thinking, did I say Wednesday we are almost 2 weeks away? At Wednesday we were exactly 2 weeks away. And now we are less than 2 weeks away. 12 measly days. The longest 12 days in Stranger Things fans' lives are these next 12 days. It's just the way it is, but it is the holiday season and we are getting closer to, in the United States, Thanksgiving. And for a lot of us, it's some time off. For me, I believe it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just the most beautiful 5-day weekend. Tuesday, I feel like Monday I will actually do work. Tuesday, it's almost going to be like, you know, watching the clock and my legs shaking, like, come on, let's go. And then Wednesday arrives and it's just off to the races. I did say the other day that there was a good chance I wasn't going to get an episode out yesterday, and I stood by it. Like, in the morning, I didn't have much time, and then in the evening, I was like, you know what? I have an hour before the Patriots game. And my wife says, why don't you just relax a little bit? Come and read in bed before the game. And I said, you know what? That is a wonderful idea. I did promise myself, I did put a warning out there that there was a chance there'd be no episode yesterday. And I said, you know, it's, I covered my tracks. I've been making good time. I'm in a good position to get this project done. If you asked me, you know, 3 weeks ago or a month ago, I would say, yes, I'm going to do it. And then I thought, how am I going to do it? Well, it's because of days like this, two episode days. Well, I'm not there yet because it's still only, well, this is only the first episode of the day. I'm promising a second episode today. Hopefully I get there. Hopefully I don't just like fall asleep on the couch. Next thing you know, I can't do it. That's not the plan. The plan is sleep is overrated. Stranger Things is forever. So the only thing I wanted to note was in Variety, I typed Stranger Things into Google News, and there is an article. Now, these articles, these headlines drive me crazy because the title in the browser, like if you look at your tab on your title, it's different than the title in the article, and that annoys me. So the title in the browser, in the little tab, says Stranger Things 5, an oral history of the cast's last day on set. Again, these are things I want to read after. I don't want to read before, but you might want to read before. So I will put a link to this in the show notes. I did read, you know, I'm always good for reading at least the first paragraph. Then I'll go back and, you know, bookmark all these and read it afterwards. The headline says, I'm at a loss without the show. Inside the final days of Stranger Things and the cast's heartbreaking goodbyes. This is from Variety. And the article starts, when Stranger Things premiered on Netflix on July 15th, 2016, I know where I was. I was sitting right over there on a different couch watching the same TV. I think it might have been a different TV even by then. Okay, let me restart this paragraph. When Stranger Things premiered on Netflix on July 15th, 2016, the show's cast was made up almost entirely of young people at the start of their professional lives. The show's creators, Matt and Ross Duffer, have told a decidedly grown-up adventure story filled with ferocious monsters and equally terrifying adult authority figures. But they built Stranger Things on a foundation of preteen innocence and adolescent angst, as vividly reflected in the youthful faces of the dozen or so actors who would eventually come to populate its cast. Okay, that's it. I'm not going any further. I will put a link to this in the show notes and you can check it out. It is an article by Adam B. Very and Adam B. Crazy. I would be like, that'd be my name. I'd be like, I want to be Michael B. Crazy. That's my professional pen name. So it's by Adam B. Very and Kate Arthur. I don't know. That name was much easier. I don't know why I paused on Kate Arthur. There's nothing like hard to pronounce there. So check that out if you would like to. It looks like it's a pretty long article. So these oral histories and a lot of cool photos. But again, I'm not reading it until later. But what I am doing right now is getting ready to talk about the next 10 minutes of Papa. So this 10 minutes of Papa, minutes 60 to 70, take place in two locations, in Nevada and in Hawkins. In Hawkins, again, it's like things are getting ready to happen. And in Nevada, things are happening. Oh, things are happening. We pick up with Eleven and Brenner, and she is giving it to him, giving him the old 1-2, like giving him a piece of business and saying, I know the truth. It's not me who's the monster. It's you who are the monster. And when she says, I love the way she says this, she says, I'm going to open that door and I'm going to leave with Dr. Owens. And if you try to stop me, I will kill you. And again, that reminds me of me. That's never happened to me in real life. And I might've told the story before, but I had a dream where, look, my wife and I, we have a dog. We don't have kids. We have a dog and we love our dog. She's crazy, but we love her. And early on when we got her, I had a dream where there were these people, like a group of people. And this young lady's like, oh, that I like your dog. I was like, thank you. Thank you. She goes, I'm going to take it. I go, ha, 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 ha. And I would laugh. And she said something. This is, I might be misremembering it a little bit, but she's like, no, I'm going to take your dog. And I remember looking at her and going, and this I remember in my dream, if you take my dog, I will kill you. That's what I said. Just like 11 said it to Brenner. I said it to some woman, some young lady in my dream who was going to take my dog from me, my heart, my everything. Well, my wife is my everything too. They're both my everything, but you know what I mean. And I was like, and I remember waking up and being like, it wasn't a nightmare. I was like, kind of like smiling, like I'm proud of me for threatening someone's life over for my dog. It wasn't real, but it just was like, it showed me, I felt like I was being brave. I don't know. I don't remember anything after that in the dream. I don't know if anything ever happened, but I do know what happened here in Nevada because she goes to open the door. She does it. She takes her powers. She's like, you can't close that door on me. Pazam! And then she shoots the door off and that son of a bitch gets right behind her and stabs a needle into her neck. He's like, sorry, 11, you'll know the truth soon. And she's like, oh no. But before she passes out, she slams him up against the tank, much like she did with one, much like one did when he tortured that kid. That seems to be the go-to thing, like smash him up against the wall. And Brenner is like stretched out over the tank. He's like, he's definitely struggling, but she's been injected with some sort of sedative and she just can't hold on. She collapses. Brenner collapses. She's passed out. Brenner kind of stirs, you know, too. He's still awake and he's not broken. He's just a little roughed up.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We then go over to Hawkins, where our crew of friends are prepping for their mission, kind of like the A-Team. I don't know if you ever watched the A-Team, but there was a group of ragtag mercenaries, I guess, soldiers of fortune, is that what they were? But they would help people. And whenever they went, they would like drive into town, help people who needed help. That's usually the perfect people to help, or the ones that need help. And sometimes they would build things, and they would like construct these weapons or all kinds of stuff. And it was magical. So what we see is Eddie and Dustin hammering nails into trash cans, making some sort of like shield weapon. And Max is helping Nancy saw off a frickin' shotgun. So maybe, you know, Jason's, like, his words of advice inadvertently helped. You know, because he did say, you know, that someone could grab the shotgun and it's not good for aim unless you're really close. Max asks, is it legal? And Nancy's like, actually, I think it's a felony. And you could see Max almost smile like badass, like she is impressed by Nancy. She's like, right. But Nancy's like, you know, I'll tell you one thing. It guarantees one thing. I won't miss. And then over with Eddie and Dustin, they're hammering the nails into the trash cans, as I said. And, you know, Dustin's asking, how's it feel? And he's like, light but durable, deadly but reliable. And then he does a little like Dungeons and Dragons knight. Hear me now. There will be no more retreating from Eddie the Banished. And Dustin makes a bad battle, B-A-T pun that Eddie just kind of gives stares at him. And then he goes to tackle him. Friendly wrestling, you know, like they're joking around, rough housing, I guess. And he says, listen, Dustin Henderson, never change, Dustin Henderson. Like looks him right in the eyes. I don't think I ever looked at my friends in the eyes like that. Like just like, you know, wholeheartedly, listen, guy, never change. Almost like, and then Dustin's like, I wasn't planning on it. But the look is almost like Eddie's thinking, if anything ever happens to me, I never want you to change. And they just have this moment of just like, you know, silent reflection and friendship and camaraderie. And then Eddie goes and checks on the Sinclairs, asks how those spears coming along, because Erica and Lucas, they're tying knives to the end of sticks, you know, to make sort of stabbing weapons to stab Vecna with. And Erica has to actually help Lucas with his, because Lucas gives the thumbs up. She's like, turn that damn thumb around. It's too loose. And then she jokes about this. It's in a basketball game where they blow the whistle when your shoes come off. It's like, my shoes never fell off. She's like, you know, joking about him riding the bench. He's like, but you come to all my games. She's like, well, mom and dad forced me to. Like, mom and dad can't force you to do shit. She goes, well, even though you're a bench riding loser, you're still my brother. Just the facts. So it's like Erica's way of saying, I'm not going to be nice to you, but I do love you. And you could see Lucas sees that, and he gets it. We then jump to Steve and Robin, who are making Molotov cocktails, which I believe the A-Team did that a lot, which I don't know exactly what it is. It's gasoline. You throw a rag in. You wet the rag with the gasoline. You light the rag. Then you put the rag. No. First you put it in the bottle with the gasoline. Then you light the rag and throw it. And apparently it just catches fire. And it is definitely something that I've never actually seen in real life. If you have ever seen a Molotov cocktail in real life, you've probably seen some bad shit. So while they're doing this, you know, making these cocktails, these weapons, Steve is talking about Vicky and the guy that they saw her with at the war zone. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. He's in college, which means he was visiting on spring break. So he's in college, big deal. But he goes on to talk about Fast Times. He's like, he wasn't here. So unless she's got some horn dog brother we don't know about. So he's basically trying to say, it doesn't make any sense. We thought she took Fast Times at Ridgemont High out so that she could look at Phoebe Cates. But now she seems to have a boyfriend. So this doesn't make any sense. I like that Steve's trying to make logic behind it. Unless she's really into Judge Reinhold. She's like, Steve, enough. I don't care, okay? And she's like, I don't understand why you do either, okay? With everything going on, it feels like, you know, it's the perfect time to pull the rug out on me. Because honestly, you know, with the fact that the world might be ending, my love life feels pretty low as far as, like, you know, the stakes. He's like, yeah, I get it, but I still have hope. And, you know, he says that to her, but he also looks out on the field of all the kids. And she's like, she goes, not everything has a happy ending. He goes, yeah, I know what you mean. And she sees him looking at Nancy. It's like, I'm not talking about failed romance. And then she says, I just have this terrible gnawing feeling that it might not work out for us this time. And again, it starts to make you think about Steve. Now, we know what happens. But when you're seeing this the first time, you're like, oh, God. Oh, you know, oh, goodness gracious. And he says to her, you think we shouldn't be doing this? She's like, I think we're mad fools. Okay? But if we don't stop him, who will? And I love that they look out on the field of their merry band of heroes, aiming guns, twirling spears, dueling with spiked shields. And they are like, we have to try, right? And they use the Molotov cocktails to toast to killing Vecna / Henry / One. I love it. So we jump back to Nevada, and Eleven wakes up in her bed. And she has one of those shock collars on that I think we saw around 2. It was on him. Brenner actually put this collar on her neck. He's like, it's only a precaution, Eleven. I never intend to activate it. Like, what a monster. Because I very much hope our fighting has come to an end. Like, he is definitely manipulating her, or attempting to. She's in tears. He's like, yes, I know you're angry with me. But it was the only way. The best way. Like, that is textbook manipulation, right? It's just awful. Now, the moment he says that, boom, the alarm starts blaring and Brenner turns in surprise. Now you realize that Right now, 11 thinks that Brenner's the worst thing going on. And Brenner thinks, okay, I've got Owens under control. I can now force 11 to do exactly what I need, and Owens can't do anything about it. Oh no, there's more trouble, because little did they know that as awful as Brenner is, there's something worse coming. And he goes to ask, you know, what is it? Someone says, it's Sullivan. They found us. And I'm like, oh, that's General Jerkface. That's Sullivan. That's his name. So the military crew shows up right at the doorstep of the Nina Project. They blow the doors off and they head in. The crew inside is getting ready to defend. They're waiting. They have guns pointed at the door. Very much reminds me, if you remember that scene in Rogue One at the end where Darth Vader tries to come and steal the plans, and the alarm's going, and then all of a sudden, the lightsaber goes. You're like, uh-oh, Darth Vader's here to kill us all. Except this time, it seems to be American soldiers fighting against American soldiers, military police, based on their helmets. The door smashes open, bullets fly, and Brenner's like, 11, we have to go. They've come to kill you. She's like, what's going on? Brenner scoops up 11, and they run off to make their escape. Meanwhile, General Jerkface walks through the halls, keeping watch as soldiers are searching everywhere. Someone's like, we found something. You're going to want to see this. And they go into a room, and there is Owens sitting on the ground. He's handcuffed to this bar and basically can't go anywhere. And he's like, well, 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 what happened here? Are mommy and daddy fighting? All right, let me try this again, shall we? Where's the girl? Where is the girl? Well, there's actually an exit, another exit that is not the door. It seems to be a bulkhead. And Brenner carries 11 up the steps, out into the desert. And it looks like some of the lab people tried to escape that very same way, because they're all dead. They look like they're shot. There's bodies lying everywhere. These people who were excited to work with Owens and 11, who gave up their day-to-day lives, gave up what they were doing to join the Nina Project. Now they've given up their actual life as they've been killed by their own military. But it's quiet. Like, there's none of Sullivan's people are around. It's very quiet. And Brenner, like, is looking off in the distance in the desert. And then, boom, a bullet out of nowhere comes and hits Brenner in the shoulder. He turns, and there's a helicopter, like, off in the distance that just shot at him and hit him. And then another shot goes off. And that's it. That is time. So Brenner's been shot, definitely. The second shot missed him. And, I mean, are they aiming at him? Are they aiming at 11? I don't know what's going on, but it is crazy. Things are happening. In Hawkins, you know, not much happened. It's just time to prep, time to roll. But in Nevada, oh, baby, the Nina Project has come to an official end, unofficial end maybe, but it's over. And now Brenner is just trying to run off with 11. I don't know where he was going. Maybe he had a car hidden somewhere, but he just runs off. He tries to run off in the desert with her, but he gets shot. And now he seems to be just facing off against a friggin' helicopter who has him dead to rights with a marksman, you know, aiming down at them. Not good. Not good. I can't wait to see how it ends. And I hope you join me for that, which very much should be this evening. That's the plan. That seems to be the reality. So I am looking forward to talking more Stranger Things with you tonight. And then I'm not sure exactly. Do I take the weekend off? I don't know. Probably not. I probably won't, but I don't know about Saturday morning. I have to rake leaves. Okay. I've been putting it off, and I think tomorrow is probably the day where I need to get out there and rake some leaves. It's like, oh, real life stuff. Oh, boring. Oh, but I guess someone's got to do it, and it's got to be me. It's got to be me. So, doesn't matter. We will finish up this chapter tonight. We will start the next chapter over the weekend, and then it's just go. It is go, go, go. My plan is to have everything done by next weekend at the very latest, if not sooner. So that's it. I am done. I am finished today. I'm finished this morning. I hope everyone has a wonderful Friday, and I look forward to speaking with you tonight. But until then, you can follow me on all the socials at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, which is Geek Mentality Mike. The Facebook page is Fans Not Experts. The YouTube channel is Fans Not Experts. That's because the website where all my podcasts can be found is fansnotexperts.com. But if you just care about this show, and it seems like most people do, those are the cool kids, you can just go to strangerdangerpodcast.com and follow strangerdangerpodcast.com on Blue Sky and StrangerDBot on Twitter. Yes, I think I'm going to keep using the Twitter account. The Stranger Things Season 5, Stranger Things 5 deserves it. So follow there if you can, if you want. But Blue Sky is where I do most of my stuff. And, of course, StrangerDangerPodcast.com. I will see you tonight as we finish the final moments of Papa. But until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And remember, it's people like you and people like me and even people like General Jerkface. We are the ones who help keep Stranger Things alive forever.
Fans Not Experts.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.